acres and acres. Anyway, you all continue to pray personally for me. I think we may have our house sold, so y'all hold that up in prayer. It's some folks from California. We met them, and they're very nice folks. And he is Indian, and believe it or not, we connected. His family lives probably 2 hours south of Dr. Charian, where he's at there in India. So I've been through his hometown, so we kind of connected that way. And they have two little kids, and they fit well for what they want to do there. So I'd be happy for them to have it. But anyway, just keep that in prayer. Maybe we'll hear something this week. So anyway, that's where that's at with me. And we know we've got lots of folks with health issues. This daggone cancer word is an awful thing to have to deal with in life. And a lot of us have been touched by that, by family members or whatever. And it's without God, I don't know how you get through it, really. And David is going through it right now, that sat there behind us. He hasn't been here, I guess, this third week or so. So, and others, and on and on and on. It just, when I prayed for, when we all were praying that Debbie would be healed, and I would see that list with her name on it, I just asked God over and over, you know, I'd sure like to see her name come off that list. Well, it's off the list. She got cured in the best way. She's sitting up at the feet of Jesus today. So anyway, God knows best in all situations. He shapes us with these things. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today, how God shapes us in the things that we have and the things that we don't have, and how it affects some people that we know that are striving all the time and they're unsettled. And it's a shame that most of the world is that way. They need Jesus. It's what they need. But anyway, Danny, come and get us started, and I'll get back here in just a minute.
Thank you, Steve. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you here. And, you know, Steve is 150% totally correct on God's, he's eternity past to eternity future. He knows it all. He's been there already. And when our times come to deal with these issues in our life, God knew that was coming for us, and His grace is sufficient. So we need to keep our folks lifted up. There is a lot of people on the list. I'll get over there in just a minute. Let's talk about a few of the announcements. And I know we're all adults and we can read the bulletin, but we'll just highlight some of them. Today started our Discovery Sunday classes downstairs at 9:45 and is going on now until 10:45. So if you're interested in things that are going on at the church, you're welcome to attend those classes. Tonight we're looking for Aaron and Christia Rezinger. I don't know that I said that right. But anyway, they are missionaries to the Amazon Basin, and I guess you saw their display outside there, and a very interesting display. But we'll look forward to hearing them. And then this Wednesday night, we're looking to see Miss Joyce Shiro back from Japan. We've supported her for many years, and so it'll be good to hear a report from her. On Thursday, the Oasis is going to the Everlasting Nation Museum. So if you're signed up for that, that will be Thursday. On Saturday morning, we got a big day coming up on Saturday, the men's prayer meeting at 7 o'clock a.m. in the Blue Room. And then at 9:30, we have the Vacation Bible School visitation. And then from 1 to 3 is the quilting circle. And then at 6 o'clock, the ladies' craft night is going to be held. So, you know, if you want to come to that, please sign up out there in the lobby. And so that's a few of the highlights there that we need to go over. I'd like to extend our condolences to Joe Shaw and his brother going home to heaven. And we know that death is a hard time to go through, even when you have hope in the Lord. Our human bodies still suffer. So we'll pray for Joe's brother's family and for the whole family there during this time. Also, Miss Allison Edwards' father went to be with the Lord, and so we extend our sympathy to her. On June the 16th, Father's Day, there will be gifts for all men 18 and above. And, you know, that'll be next Sunday, so we'll celebrate Father's Day then. And then we're looking to see Dan and Dee Kowach from South Korea next Sunday night. There'll be a VBS workers meeting at 7:30 p.m., and so I come to the sick list now, and like Brother Steve said, there's many on the sick list, and you know, God, we pray that His will be done. We pray that His blessings be on these folks that are dealing with this terrible thing called cancer, and the list is long on that. Also, I'd like to remind you that David Lawson, who is Miss Frances Lawson's son, is supposed to have heart surgery tomorrow, and so I'd like for you to remember him in prayer. They come when they're in, but they live in Illinois, so remember him tomorrow as he has that heart surgery. And then Randy and Pat Scalf is really having some rough time, and so let's remember them, Pat Shaw and Ron and Wanda Huskins. So y'all remember these that we called out our names, plus all those that are dealing with cancer. And then we want to continue to remember our teens over in UK. I understand the news is that they're doing well. And so we just thank God for their safety, and pray that He'll bless them while they're there, and they'll do a great work for Him. So before I go to prayer, does anyone have a request? Yes, ma'am. Okay, an unspoken. Okay, well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day, and God, for Your goodness to us. And Lord, you know, You do those things that we don't even know about. And Lord, every one of us can lift our heads and we can say, thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us. And we just pray that You'll bless this day. Bless Brother Steve as he teaches. I pray that You'll bless the pastor as he preaches during the 11 o'clock service. And Father, just pray today, God, for our teens that are over there in the UK. Lord, I know they're going to have services this week, all through the week, and Lord, they'll be doing passing out tracts and things, and God, I pray You'll bless them, keep them safe, and Lord, that You'll bring them back home safe. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for dying for us, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Danny. Thank you. I wanted to finish up this lesson that we kind of started on last week. Was more like an introduction to some details that I wanted to speak about. And contentment in our life in the world today, in contentment with who we are and where we are as far as status in our life, in this world, a lot of people, most people, look at what you have, what status you are. And I guess as we go through life, I have to look at that. I can't say for you, but I can say for me that having a lot of finances is not easy. But people that are striving for that, and they think they want that to bring them satisfaction in the world as they live. Now, a lot of us here have been there and back, including me. And we think that we need this or need that. And stuff, having things is not a problem, having nice things. It's letting those things have you, possess you, whatever it may be. And people look at your car, they look at your house, they look at how you dress, they look at your business, they look at this and look at that. And that's just part of the physical part of us being sinners saved by grace, and that's who we are. And if we don't put God first in our life among all that, Pam and I were talking about our children today, and what did they see when they were growing up? Of course, as teens, they want things, they want cars, and they want this and they want that. And I'm blessed because all my children were saved, and we had a sounding board with Christ in our life, and we was able to go to church and be part of church and be part of singing and doing what young people do. And all my kids, I was fortunate enough to pay for their education to go to nice schools and learn how to be teachers or dentists or whatever they are. And Levi, you know, how much more of a blessing. I've got a preacher on the field in England and with the kids there now. And I've talked to Levi, and they're just having a wonderful time, and they're doing a great job. And we are so blessed with this church, guys, to have the youth group that we have and the preacher that we have and the youth minister that we have, and the people that are working with the youth are doing a wonderful job. And I'm just telling you now, there's other churches in the area that are some of my children, not only here in Knoxville. I've got all teenage grandbabies here now in the United States. Levi's little boys are still little boys. But having teenagers that are out with other friends and doing things, they have become aware of how these other teens look at the world and want. I want this, or I want that, or I want the latest phone, or I want this car, or I want this Jeep, or they looking at things, and that's all they're looking at. And then some of them have been invited to go to their church on some kind of function, and they come home and they say, "Oh my, I didn't realize what we had at our church. I didn't realize what good preaching and teaching and all that's about. And praise the Lord that we have that here." And they have mentioned to me, they come to Paul and talk to Paul about these things and say that it's kind of feels false because it's more praising than it is learning or preaching or or getting to know God better or understand God better. So it's not just us as older adults that have to deal with things of the world and wanting things of the world. We know that, those of us that had teens and went through that. But it seems like it's more enhanced today to me. And as grandparents, we really need to, when they come to you to talk, you need to really balance that across what God has done for us and understand that they have been blessed with a good church that they go to. They've been blessed with good parents that have been raised up in church. Praise the Lord for my kids. I mean, my kids never gave me any problems, very little. They were just kids, but they were raised up from 2 weeks old in the church, basically. We have that, and I want you to step back just a minute from that. And Paul was dealing with contentment of the world at the time, even when he was on the mission field talking to the churches and talking to the people and the Jews and the Gentiles. There was no, the one of the flesh is no different than the one of the flesh then. So the Bible is very up to date. It's alive. It's new. It can speak to teens as well as it can speak to us. Paul says in Philippians 10, now let me put my glasses on. I'm having a time with this right eye. Yeah, you can pray for my right eye. It's been having a problem for a long time. But anyway, we'll see. I have struggled a little bit reading now because of it. In Philippians 4:10 it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now that at last your care for me hath flourished again, where also careful but lacked opportunity." He's talking about them given to him. Gifts. "Not that I speak in respect of want." He said, you know, I'm not really down and out, "for I have learned." Now, this is Paul speaking. He says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content." Now, he had to learn that. You know where he come from. He was very educated, well known among the Pharisees. But he says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am." Now, how do you teach that to a young person? That whatever state you're in, be satisfied. Of course, they're growing and looking at going to school and educating themselves and figuring out what they're going to do in life. And they want what their parents, a lot of kids today want, they think they can get out of school and instantly have everything that the parents have. And it's so mistaken to let society push that on them, because it becomes they don't have it, they can't get it. Even more today, they talk about how kids even get a house to start with, where all of us got a job, rented for a while, and now you can't hardly even afford rent, and bought a house and got started. Well, now society's saying it's even going to be hard for kids to do that. But they still have that want. And a lot of them have a need to want things that are even way above what they can achieve at this point in their life. So as grandparents, how do we balance that? How do we talk to them about that? But Paul said right here, he says, "I have learned to deal with this." And I know, he says there in verse 12 again, we read this last week, and he says, "I know both now to be abased, and I know how to abound in everywhere, in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But he says right there, he says in that verse, I am instructed. God has instructed him, saying you're not always going to have everything you need. You're not always going to be abounding. But then he turns it right around and Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now, doing all things, what is that? Does that means I can do whatever I want to do or what I can do? That's doing all things means he was dealing with life's challenges. Now, did Paul have challenges? Absolutely. I mean, he was beat almost to death. They think he was dead when they threw him out of the city. Whipped, caned, whipped, jail, shipwrecked, starving out, freezing to death, and on and on and on. Is that what I have learned? Is that what caused him to learn? We know the Bible tells us going through something hard, we learn. Now, I've learned in the last 40 years in some of these having things, I really didn't need them. Oh, it was nice to have it at the time. And then you start worrying, not worrying, but concerned back in those days. We were going to church just like this, but much smaller. Taught fundamentals of the truth. Knew the truth, taught Sunday school back then also. But I had to be careful. I had a good business. I had stuff. And I had to train my children to know that just because I have stuff, Dad worked for that. And I didn't let that stuff run my life. Because striving for stuff today, is it right for both parents to work and work and work and have children and they're at work all the time and they send them to childcare and all that stuff? I can't judge somebody for that because society demands things on people. But we let our children or our grandchildren, we can let them get in trouble by looking at what mom and dad or papa and mama did. And I want the same thing instantaneously. It's just not going to happen. And they have to learn, and they have to be instructed by God, the Word of God, that they should be happy if they're hungry. He was saying hungry. Or they abound. They have to be satisfied with their lives at the time it is. See, we get in a hurry, and all of us are guilty of it. Think back when you were young. You wanted. I wanted. We're all like that. We're just made that way. That's the sin nature, to want what somebody else has got, to covet. Did you see that truck? I want one like that. Did you see that Jeep? I want one like that. Look at all them rubber ducks in that Jeep. Have you seen them Jeeps with all the rubber ducks in them? I was asking Noah the other day. I said, Noah, I didn't know what was all about. I said, what is the deal with all the rubber ducks in the Jeep? He said, oh, it's just a thing. If people carry a box of them rubber ducks, if they park beside somebody with a Jeep, they take a rubber duck and set it on their hood. He said, you know the Jeep wave? I said, no. He said, that's the Jeep wave when you're driving. I mean, come on. But that's kids, you know? And what do you think that Noah wants? He wants a Jeep. I mean, their children. And that's good. But we have to help them. We have to instruct them, help, and use God's word to do that. So Paul talks about the facts that being Christians, being saved, being trying to do the right thing doesn't eliminate that from our lives, those wants and needs. And well, is it a want or is it a need? Then you can kind of separate things right there. And I've been there, and I tell you this, I've told you before that old story about that old bass boat that I've got, that I thought I wanted it really bad, but I didn't really need it. Now I've got the thing, and I really don't need it, but I like having it. Take the kids fishing every once in a while. I've been instructed by God's word, but to be content with what I have in life. Most people are just not content. I know some people that are not saved. They don't go to church. And they are so ugly in their life. They don't really do anything terribly mean. But they're miserable all the time. They have not a good word to say to anybody. Because they have not Christ in their life. And they're always looking. Look what I have. Or look what they have. Or look what I bought. And they buy something and they think that's going to satisfy them, but they're just as miserable with that something. So we need to be instructed that you've got to have Christ in your life. Contentment must be a learned thing for every person. Now, how do we learn that? I think us as grandparents and parents, we've learned some of these lessons. We need to impart this information to our children, to the next generation. Not only to ourselves, but I want to help instruct this with God's word. And Paul says, I have learned there in that verse 11. And he says, I am instructed in verse 12. There's a time when Paul didn't know. He just didn't know. He was striving for things. He was striving for education and to be a master in Judaism and all of that he did. He was striving for all that stuff, trying to be satisfied. And then once Christ knocked him silly on the road to Damascus, he woke up and realized none of that mattered. So here I am at 74, some of you older than that, some younger. Have we woke up and said, man, that stuff really didn't matter? Or are we still striving? Now I'm not saying it's not bad to have this or that. It's just when that this or that becomes priority in your life instead of living for Christ and trying to live the right kind of life. And what else is there but to get your kids set on the right path? Bring them to church and teach them and help them to start their lives and lead them into things that praises the Lord, just like the music ministry that you have with your young ladies and the other young ladies. What a wonderful ministry. They'll use that the rest of their life in praising the Lord. And others of us that do things that point people to serve God. The contentment that we want to have, we want to be content, is a learned thing. It just don't happen overnight, not all of a sudden. And we have to realize that with our children, our adult children, have to figure that out too, because I did. We have to learn that sometimes less contentment comes with the most things. Things just don't give you the contentment of life. I mean, if we've got health today, we're blessed. Oh, with this prayer list that we have, with all these people and their illnesses, and on and on and on. You know, this, a testimony of a content man, person. Do you have that today? Do you want that today? Do you want to have true happiness and let that shine, let that light shine in your life? Being content with what you have and who you are. And what I have is Christ's salvation in my life. And I am very content with that. I am so happy with that. I can stand up about any time and give a testimony. I am not ashamed of Christ and what he's done in my life. And that is contentment for me, real contentment. And I'm saying that from a point of perspective that I have been blessed with family, with kids, with stuff. I've just been blessed, but the real contentment is Christ. It's just what it is. I have learned that. And I want my children and my grandchildren to learn that and know that and have that testimony of a person that is content with who they are and what they are. Joy does not depend upon circumstances. Your position in life. It just does not. You can have a little, Pam and I call them little mamaw houses, the way they used to build them, two little bedrooms and a little kitchen and maybe a garage. Just a simple little place. And be so happy. And I think that's where a lot of us are at today. That's what Pam and I are going to do. We sell this place down there. We're going to get us a little house, a little mamaw house, and just be happy and content. Because we have Christ in our life. We have this church, this wonderful church to come to. And hear about Christ and hear the word preached and on and on and on. You know, Paul. And how do we learn these things? Now, that's we're such hard heads. God loves us no matter who we are or what we've done in the past. God loves us and saved us. But we're such hard heads. Look at Paul. What did he have to go through to learn this? I mean, he had to go through, here's a list. He was stoned and dragged out of the city. Excuse me. I wish this grass season would get over. He was beaten and thrown into jail, plotted against by the Jews, needs, distresses, stripes, imperils, sleeplessness, had trouble on every side. Go to a town and they were waiting on him there to run him out. Frequent imprisonments and encounters with death 5 times. He'd received 39 stripes from the Jews 3 times. Beaten with rods. Violence in his life. Is that what it took for him to learn. Was that good things? No. That's hard stuff right there, hard living. But he said, I have learned from that. Now, folks, you cannot tell me when something bad comes in your life, and I know we don't like it, we don't want it, and I'm not expecting it. But when something tough comes into your life, you know you learn by it. That's just who we are, and that's how God does it sometimes. He does it in different ways for different people. Illnesses and poverty and stress with family and on it goes. God works his way. And we want to say, why, God, why have you done this to me? And then you start thinking, what have I got to learn from this? How am I ever going to get through this? And is God bringing that stuff in your life so you can learn something? That's what happened to Paul. These verses are so many verses talking about carnal Christians have yet to learn. And how are they learning? To learn true contentment with God, the Bible teaches it's going to be developed only through trials of affliction. I mean, that's hard. And we think, and you'll have people say, well, I thought God's supposed to be a good God, and look what he's done to you. I mean, we need to be ready to stand up for God in these situations and say, I know this is not good and it's not what I wanted, but God has this for me today. Or God had that for me then. And learn by these situations. There's so many verses that we could read. And it's so simple. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. And I talked a little bit about that last week. And us needing and wanting what we can't have. You know, it's a simple formula that Satan uses in our lives to keep us all tore up. Keep us striving stuff instead of trying to strive and learn more about God. I've been teaching and reading for 45 years and I cannot pick the Bible up and not get something new out of it. If you're seeking it, you will find it. God will give it to you. Are you seeking contentment in your life? You need to slow down a little bit. Get in the Word and find out why you're not content. We need to be content with what God's given us and where we're at in life. God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. I want rest in this old crazy world. For my yoke is easy and my burden are light. I've taught it and said it in here before. Take all that junk. And I used to carry a briefcase a lot, or satchel, or whatever you carry today. Put it in it. Bring it up here and set it down and give it to God. And say, here it is, God, I can't do it no more. And start getting some contentment. If you let God carry it. It's hard to do. Now, it's hard to do. Paul said, I had to learn it. And he learned it through some terrible situations. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those things right there now, that's what's causing you to not have contentment. Is not of the Father, but of this world. And who runs the world? Who's the prince and the power of this atmosphere? And we know that's Satan. Don't let Satan pull your contentment away. Give it to God. Let him carry it. I want to have contentment with whatever state I'm in. Whatever state I'm in, I want to have contentment. I don't know why God had me go on with this. I could have stopped a week ago. But there may be somebody here needed to hear it. They record this. Maybe somebody's not content today. Get down on your knees and give it to the Lord and say, I'm done. God, give me contentment. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for being there for us. Lord, we need to learn. We're just old hardheads sometimes. You help us to learn how to be content. And God, we thank you. Thank you so much that you're there for us. Life sometimes throws things at us that are tough, but Paul got tough stuff, and we need to learn by that. Give it to you and move forward for the cause of Christ. Lord, we thank you for this good church that we have, and the fellowship, and the preacher, and the teaching, and all that goes on here, Lord. Praise your high and holy name for what you do. Lord, give us a good day in church. Pray that you touch the preacher's words that will touch through him, touch hearts, change lives for the glory of God. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Thank you guys for listening to me.